Hey, really quick before we start the show, I have a question for you. Are you a frustrated store owner tired of earning peanuts and ready to make real money even with a small audience? If you answered yes, then I'd love to connect with you for a free profit potential discovery call. In this free 30-minute session, I analyze where you're currently leaving money on the table regarding marketing opportunities to sell more of your products. Are you an online seller, a Shopify merchant, or building a direct-to-customer brand looking to optimize your business for more sales? Then the Profit Potential Discovery Call is perfect for you. All you need to do is to sign up for the premium member edition of my newsletter. So go to ecommercecoffeebreak.com/newsletter to sign up today. Now that's ecommercecoffeebreak.com/newsletter.
This is the E-Commerce Coffee Break, the podcast dedicated to Shopify store owners who want to optimize their business for maximum conversions and revenue. Each week, you're going to get actionable advice and hear from special guests talking about various topics on how to run a profitable business on Shopify. Learn how to survive in the fast-changing e-commerce world with your host, Klaus Lauter, and get e-commerce insights you can't Google. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the E-commerce Coffee Break. Today we will talk about testing and optimizing your social media, your social ads, everything that has to do with creative and copy. Therefore, I have with me Colby Flott. He's the CEO and founder of BrighterClick.com. BrighterClick helps e-commerce stores increase revenue through social media advertising. Colby founded BrighterClick with the mission to create an education-first agency that focuses not only on performance, but proactively communication led by education. So as he's coming from the education point of view, I think we have a good guest here helping us diving a little bit deeper in the topic of how you can use and optimize your creative and your copy for the perfect social media campaigns. Hi, Colby. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Klaus. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, sure. Give me a bit of a background where you're coming from, what your approach is.
Yeah, for sure. So I think really what we're looking at today is just kind of having a purpose or a why behind what you're doing in your account, right? You can have good results, but as a business owner, as an agency, as someone that's working in Facebook ads, you want to make sure you understand what's causing the good performance. I'm sure you have the same type of situation on the website side, right? You want to understand what's causing that good performance so that you can keep repeating positive results in the future for your account. So but what we do is really focus on building out structures or purposes behind each part of the actual campaign. So we're looking at your audiences, your messaging, your copy, your creatives, and even your landing page choices, really just kind of having structures with those so that you can understand what is performing well. And that's something, if you would like, we can definitely kind of go in depth to and kind of unravel for each one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds interesting. So now obviously a lot of people start their campaigns either on Instagram, Facebook, any other kind of platform, and they do not really have a plan. They just throw some ads on there without a huge concept behind. Landing pages do not match the ad copy and so on and so forth. I see that all over the place. And obviously having a structured approach to that helps a lot. What's your framework around this to make sure that your campaign is not all over the place?
Yeah, for sure. So what we like to do is kind of plan out your campaign to test one thing at a time, right? Have minimal variables in the situation. Look at it like a science experiment. So what I would suggest people do is for the first 5 to 7 days of your campaign, really focus on creating some audience structures and testing those specific audience structures. And when you're doing audience structures, look at high value lookalikes versus low value lookalikes. Look at engagement audiences versus persona based interest audiences versus lifestyle based interest audiences. What you want to do is you want to set up those campaigns and have those audiences running. And you want to, once again, minimize variables, try to show them the same or very similar creative types and ads so that you can really prove that those audiences are performing well. And then you continue that kind of strategic one test at a time. You take those top performing audiences, move them into the next round of testing. And that's where you look at your messaging themes or your purposes, right? So what core message behind your business or your brand is really driving the most engagement? And a couple that we find, especially with e-commerce, is like product quality, financial savings. If you're doing lower in the funnel, scarcity, made in, and I'll say the USA because that's where I'm located, but we work with a company in Australia and that works very well for them with their copy as well. And a couple other messaging themes, right? What part of your USP or your messaging is really going to drive that? And then in the next round of testing, really focus on your creative, your copy structures, and your kind of your landing page direction and things like that as well. So just doing one thing at a time, keep it simple, right?
Okay. Now, obviously smaller, medium enterprises, they might not have a whole content creation team behind their desk. So obviously they are sort of overwhelmed with all the moving parts that you need to consider: video creation, image creation, graphic creation, copy, and everything that comes with it. And then I think even going one step further, a lot of people do not have really a clear understanding who their audience is. So who's the perfect customer avatar? Or they have one, not being aware that usually in the business, you have more than one perfect audience. Mm-hmm. How do you help with that approach?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we'll kind of parse that out and look at audience to start, right? So you have your website data, right? So looking at creating personas is very, very helpful, but you can also look at it from the sense of having Facebook audiences or Facebook purchasers, right? So going back to those kind of those lookalike brackets before, and the key buzzword, iOS 14.5, you were able to get away with just doing a lookalike 1% add to cart audience, right? That performed well, boom, it kept going. Let's build out another one. Now, because we're losing tracking data and things like that, you look at grouping them together by value level. So even if you don't have your ideal buyer persona mapped out, maybe it's female 20 to 30, enjoys travel or something like that, you can use these lookalike audiences and group them by value. So it would be high value is, let's say you do lookalike 1%, add to cart, checkout initiated purchase. If you have an email list, two-time purchaser or more, and top 25% website visitor. That's an ad set right there. That's an audience. Low value, you can do Facebook engager, Instagram engager, lookalike 1%, video view 50% or higher, website visitor, no add to cart. There's an audience for you right there. Okay. Another quick win audience. Now I preface this by saying, don't just run this audience, but CBO wide open. That's no targeting at all. You're just setting up an ad set. I know that sounds outlandish, but a lot of times it does bring positive results. And then one that has been very good after, once again, iOS 14.5 is video view audiences. So setting up video view engagement campaigns at the top of the funnel to your cold audiences, and then retargeting people that watch 50% or higher with ads as well. So even though you may not have key defined audience there, you can use those lookalikes, you can use those video view audiences, and then also check out your Google Analytics as you're targeting those people to get a good grasp on what your audience demographic truly is like.
Mm-hmm. Already a lot of good tips in there. Talking about video, obviously video has become more and more important. The video consumption is going through the roof and that will not change anytime soon. Yeah. So what's your tip there or your experience there on how many video ads do you need to have within a campaign? How long do you test video creatives against each other? What's your process there?
Yeah, that's, and I'm going to try not to go too in the weeds with that because there's a lot of good answers on that. The first one would be, instead of quantity, looking at quality, right? And people often worry, well, we don't have high production budget. The more native, the better, right? User-generated content videos often outperform high budget videos. We just find that time and time again, right? So really focusing on being native to the platform and creating videos that are enjoyable to watch on social media, right? Quantity of videos really depends on the budget that you have. I mean, I would say on the low end, make sure you have 2 to 3 running that you can really kind of test to see, but once again, have a purpose behind each one of them so you can understand what is performing well and what is not performing well. So yeah, I would say really focus on making sure you're native to the platform. And then how long you let it run for. We're actually working on a formula, and this is where I said I wouldn't go too far in the weeds, but on understanding exactly when to cut things off based on your CPA and your add to cart price. If you have an ad that is running and consistently is going 1.25 to 1.5 times spend over your CPA and you're not getting any results, you probably need to find a new ad. You probably need to find a new creative type that you want to look for. So,
okay. You mentioned CBO campaigns. I'm a big fan of CBO campaigns. They can be very lucrative. What's the experience with CBO?
CBO campaigns in general, or like with the audience?
In general.
Yeah, I think they're really good. From my perspective, so there's, just to clarify for your audience, there's CBO, there's ABO. One is campaign budget, one is ad set budget. I think CBO is great, especially for business owners who are wanting to run their own ads and may not have the ability to be in the account for many times a day to check on things and make sure they're monitoring things. CBO is also great for testing, especially in this kind of audience testing, messaging testing, all of that stuff we're talking about, because you're given Facebook's algorithm, which is much smarter than I am as a person, the ability to kind of divide up your budget and figure out what's working and what's not. So CBO generally is our starting point. Learn what's working in your CBO. And then when you really want to have more full control over things, move them over to your ABO campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to quickly touch on the topic iOS 15, iOS 14.5, and so on and so forth, not to go too deep into it. I see, and that was my prediction last year, and I see it happening right now. There's the first people coming up with sort of workarounds. Some of them are relatively complicated, but they're getting there. So I think sooner or later, we will find a way to get back at least some of the data that we had in the past. What's your opinion on that?
Yes, we are humans and we evolve and we adapt, right? So one thing that we've rolled out, which has been working very well for us actually, is, and I won't, once again, not going too far into it, but iOS 14.5, Apple stated you can't use your browser pixel or your server side pixel to track people that opt out. And we now only have 7-day click, 1-day view. What Apple did not say is that you can't upload your own custom purchase files and then retroactively see who purchased on Facebook, right? So what we've done is we've used Zapier. Zapier makes you happier is their motto. And we take Zaps and connect Shopify to Facebook. So in real time, every time you get a purchase, if your pixel didn't catch it, offline events will catch it. So then we can see also on the ad reporting side that we have offline purchases in real time. And it's been very, very helpful. And it's kind of opened a lot of our clients' eyes to see like, oh, okay, yeah, Apple did have a pretty big impact on things. I mean, some accounts were seeing 20, 30, 40% tracking loss, but now with offline events, it's definitely helped out.
Interesting that you mentioned Zapier. I have heard a different solution, but it's also working with Zapier. So yeah, that seems to be the golden goose right now.
I love Zapier. Yeah.
As an agency, you say that you are a education first agency. Can you go a little bit deeper into that and what that means?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it starts with me, right? It starts with my story, and that sounds selfish, but I taught myself a lot, like a lot of what we're doing. It's coming from books. It's coming from wonderful Google and YouTube and really kind of self-education. And what the goal when I started BriderClick was is to create an agency that gives people the opportunity to reach the goals they want to within the marketing career, but also can help business owners really have a comprehensive partner to make sure that they're understanding what's going on. So we're education first from the bottom up. We, I don't know if I can legally say require, but we highly suggest every team member take a paid or free course that we provide every quarter of the business year so that they can continue to grow in their exact field. And then we lead our client communication with that education as well. And kind of long-term, Klaus, our goal is we want to start opening up free university courses on our website for people to take for paid marketing or for Google Ads or for any other services. that may be within BriderClick, so that we can just continue to help people get to where they want to be, either with owning their business or with marketing as well. So one fun thing we might do, I'm kind of new to the space, but we might turn it into like a little NFT badge so that people can have that. So we'll see how that goes.
Great idea. It would be interesting to see how that works. I think education-led approach is definitely right, specifically when it comes to topics, and we are in digital marketing, everything is moving with the speed of light, topics that are moving very, very quickly. And I think for a lot of e-commerce store owners, they have to deal with so many moving parts in their business, and there is changes coming in every different topic every day. So it's very difficult for them to keep up. Even if you have your own digital marketing team on board, even for them, it's difficult to stay on top of things when it comes to their specific topics. So I think having a partner on board, an agency that also does the work and also then helps you from the educational side of things makes total sense. How would you, or what would you recommend for somebody who is struggling right now with Facebook or has just started with ads? What would be the perfect structure or roadmap for them to get started?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would really kind of go back to the beginning and look at building out this testing model that we've talked about and really start to understand the purpose or structures behind each of your top performing. And don't worry about it one campaign at a time, I guess is the best way to put it, right? Get yourself some quick winners, get yourself some positive return on ad spend, and then worry about building out your account. So step one, of course, would be to make sure your tracking is in order. Make sure you're catching your data so that you can see things are going the right way. And then go into this testing model, right? So for 5 to 7 days, test out your audiences, take your top performing audiences, move them into another round of testing and test messaging themes. And then at the end of that 5 to 7 days, take your top performing audience and your messaging themes and move them into round three, where you would test out copy structures, you would test out creative themes, landing page direction, and then headlines as well. And Klaus, one thing, I'm from North Carolina, which is a southern area in the United States. We have a phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If at any point something starts working, leave it. don't change it if it's working. And then, you know, the last thing I would add, which kind of ties in with the services or the things that you do as well, is understand how to read your ad column so that you can see, am I performing well on Facebook or bad on Facebook, or is it my website? Because there's a lot of times where you can have great click-through rate, great CPM, great CPA. And sometimes the quick answer is, oh, well, maybe it's not the right audience. But if your landing page view percentages or your add to cart percentages or things are super low, then it's not, Facebook may be good. You may need to focus on working on that website so that you can capture people and kind of patch up the cracks in the funnel as well. So.
Yeah, you cannot really put everything on Facebook's shoulder. If your website is crappy, then there is the best ads doesn't help you.
Absolutely. I hate to say it because I don't provide it. I'll be selfish again, but your website's the most important part of the entire funnel, right? Because that's not just a Facebook thing. That's a Google Ads thing, an email thing, a TikTok thing. That's what catches all of your people. So your website's very, very important.
Yeah, specifically if you're selling physical goods or services, the closer it comes to the credit card or pulling out the credit card, the more important is that your website is on top and provides the right information, because otherwise you're just generating traffic and then you're losing it on the last step.
Exactly.
Cool. Lots of tons of good tips in there. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, BriderClick.com is our website. And actually, if you want to see the structures that we talked about today, go to BriderClick.com/testing, T-E-S-T-I-N-G. We're going to have a nice little graphic there for people to see these different structures and things like that. And then ultimately, reach out. We provide free audits. We enjoy leading through education, and that's one of the things that the audits does. So we'd be glad to pop in your account, provide you with a free audit, and really help you get set up, even if you decide to do things on your own, for success in Facebook and Instagram ads.
That's a great offer. I will put the links in the show notes so that everyone has just one click and can check it out on your site. Yeah. Thanks so much, Colby, for your time. I think it was very insightful. And I hope that Facebook will not be such a bloodbath like last year. And 2022 will be better when it comes to advertising.
Hopefully, yeah.
Thanks so much. Have a good
day. Thank you, Klaus.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Klaus here. If you're a Shopify store owner and you're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, and not sure what to do next to grow your business, you struggle to convert traffic into sales or turn website visitors into buyers, and you want to have direct access to a mentor who can assist you with your store strategy, offer, marketing, sales, and anything else you need, then I would like to invite you to apply for my Get Conversions program, where I show you how to remove the guesswork out of growing your Shopify business and create clarity to optimize your business for maximal growth and profit. It's an application-only program. To apply, go to my website, klauslauter.com, to learn more. And finally, please do not forget to subscribe, like, and comment. And I would be grateful if you would leave a quick, honest rating and review over at Apple iTunes. It's a huge help and allows me to reach more people with the podcast. Thanks in advance, and until next time at the e-commerce coffee break.